Speaking on this program is Bill Boyd.
The title for this lesson might be Do's and Don'ts for a Godly Woman. First, don't live in pleasure. And that comes right out of the text. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. What does it mean to live in pleasure? Well, now, the Lord wants us to have joy in our life. Have no mistake about that. In fact, the true pleasures, He wants us to enjoy true pleasures. But from the context, we can see this is talking about worldly pleasures. There were the Epicureans. It was a great philosophy of that day that's the reason we're here, is to get all the pleasure of life that we can get. Sounds very self-centered, doesn't it? And I tell you, you live a self-centered life based on worldly pleasure, and you're going to wind up like old King Solomon saying, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Because it's not going to provide that soul satisfaction that you seek in your life. It might seem like fun for the moment, but you let the years roll on and live that way, and you're going to be an empty shell. Don't live in pleasure. There's this song out, and I know it's kind of fun. I think it says, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. Isn't that the name of that song? You know, I think it's Girls Just Want to Have Fun, is the way they say it, or something like that. Well, it is fine to have fun. But don't focus your life thinking, purpose of my life is to enjoy worldly pleasures. What does the Bible say? She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. You can be alive in this life and be dead spiritually. And so a don't for godly women. Don't live in pleasure. And the second, similar to this, don't wax wanton. And that comes out of the text. But they have begun to wax wanton against Christ. Now, He's condemning some women for doing that. So women, don't wax wanton. What is that talking about? Well, that's talking about your fleshly desires. Don't think your life is here to fulfill fleshly desires. See, it's similar to that worldly desires, but this is particularly those lusts and desires of the flesh. Don't wax wanton. Don't wax wanton against Christ. There are desires that God's created in us that there's a right way to get those things fulfilled. But don't turn against Christ and fill them the wrong way. And it's not just talking about explicit sexual immorality here. Certainly, that's the focus. Ladies, when you begin to think that your value is whether or not you can attract a fella's eyes with your skirt, or you're going to do things to make you, where you value maybe your sex appeal, you're beginning to wax wanton. The true loveliness of a woman in the eyes of a godly man is that of a modest beauty. And so don't start thinking that you're going to show your body off and behave in manners that feed the desires of the flesh in ways that are unholy. And so do not wax wanton. Here's a third one. Don't marry someone who would take you away from Christ. Now look what it says here. They begin to wax wanton against Christ. They will marry. What, is it wrong to get married? Is he saying that he shouldn't get married? No. And just a little later in this text, he says, I will therefore that younger women marry. He wants younger women to get married. But don't marry someone that will take you away from Christ. Look at what else it says here. I know that marriage, what he says, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and let every woman have her own husband. So that's one of the purposes of marriage. But look here. They that have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry having damnation because they cast off their first faith. Now that first faith you have, ladies and young ladies, and particularly the unmarried, that first faith you have is to Christ. That's your first loyalty. And you need to hold to that. Don't go out and marry some fella. It's going to pull you away from Christ. Christ. And if we got young unmarried men here, don't marry a woman that's going to take you away from Christ. Marry someone that will help you get to heaven. That's a good goal for marriage. Now, that goes on to the married too. In 1 Corinthians 7, 12 through 15, Paul says, if a brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath a husband that believeth not, if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Then he says this, but if the unbelieving depart, let them depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. What that literally means, you are not now, and you never have been that kind of slave to anybody. Your loyalty is to Christ first. And we know how much God hates putting away and how much He wants us to honor those marriage vows and keep that bond. You even forsake father and mother to cleave to your wife, but don't forsake God. And so that's got to be primary. So women, don't marry someone that's going to take you away from Christ. He couldn't have used any more serious terms in addressing this. Having damnation. And so you don't want that. So women, don't marry someone that'll take you away from Christ. Now, don't be idle. You know, he's particularly talking about young widows. And one of the reasons that the church isn't to just provide for young widows the way it was, those older widows that couldn't provide for themselves, but the younger women that could, he says, refuse them. You don't want to be idle. I know you've heard it from your mother, probably. The idol's mind is a devil's workshop. It said, with all they'll learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, you're just asking for trouble. Don't be idle. Life's not lived for pleasure. Life's not lived just to gratify fleshly lust. Life is not to be lived and just so you can be idle and not do anything. In fact, a fulfilled life is a life of work where you're doing and contributing and being part of something. And don't just be idle. Lori and I laughed sometime about a conversation we overheard in Gatlinburg one time where a lady said, and we didn't get the whole conversation, but they're passing by, and she said, I just want to sit on my couch and eat bonbons. And I guess she thought that was the epitome of her life. You might need to do that every now and then, but don't be idle and occupy your mind and your hands and your feet and your talents in worthy things and worthy endeavors. And if you're a young single woman, find ways to provide for yourself. And don't just expect everybody to come take care of you. We want to take care of all those in need. And it's a joy to be helping one another. But don't let that lend yourself into idleness. Now don't be tattlers and busybodies. That comes from this idleness, you see. They wander about from house to house, not only idle, but tattlers and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. Now, you know those kind of people. And some men do this too. It's not like they don't have enough trouble on their own. They've got to go out and stir up trouble with somebody else. And always want to find out some story, something, and then get something started. Just leave some people alone and let them deal with their problems. And you don't have to solve everybody's problem. And a lot of times things need to be dealt with discreetly and let people struggle with their things. Now, we help where we can, but that's a lot different than being this tattler and busybody and going around stirring up trouble. And that comes partly from this idleness as well. So don't be tattlers and busybodies. Now, another one. Don't be turned aside after Satan. And that's from the text. For some are already turned aside after Satan. The world is filled with temptations to pull us away. There are those who will teach that once you're saved, you're always saved. But Paul didn't say that. He said, don't be turned aside after Satan. That sounds like a warning, doesn't it? And so, let's put Christ first. Let's honor Him. A godly woman is not going to let Satan hold up some shiny little fruit and tempt her and deceive her and pull her away from what God has commanded. And so don't be turned aside after Satan. Let's look at some of the do's in this passage. Here's one. Do trust God. And here it's talking about a widow that is desolate. And now she is a widow indeed and desolate. Trusteth in God. How do you get through life? How do you deal with this situation? How are you going to face this problem? Now you trust God. Trusting God means you're going to do what God says about this. Trusting God means that you understand that it is always right to do what's right. And it is always wrong to do what's wrong. And it is never right to do what's wrong. And it is never wrong to do what's right. And that's right because the Bible is right. And so trust God. It might look kind of hopeless out there for the next, for the foreseeable future. God's got manifold graces to help us in time of need. And let's put our trust in Him. And we know not always the plans He's working out and the things that He's doing, but we know this, the best way for us to cooperate with the plans of God is to trust God and live in keeping with the way that He teaches. And so women, let's trust God. And then this, continue in supplications and prayers. This song, living alone in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Where could I go but to the Lord? Godly women are women of prayer. It means regular prayer. I had a good friend of mine, poor fella. He grew up so hard up in Appalachia. His daddy was not much account and was hard on his family and would beat them sometime and made his money by being a bootlegger. And I remember telling me how sometime he'd hear his mama go out of their little house down in the holler and hear her weeping and wailing, and he'd listen and she'd be praying, and he heard those prayers. He grew up to be a fine man that honored his mother. Godly women are given to prayer. If you want to be a godly woman, you want to increase in godliness, then think about that. Make prayer a deliberate part of your life and help your children to pray. She continueth in supplications and prayers night and day. Now, do be blameless. That's one of the do's here. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. What does that mean? That means have a Teflon personality. Have a Teflon reputation. Things don't stick to Teflon. Now ladies, live your life in such a way and in such a manner that if someone's going to throw some charge against you, it's not going to stick. Because people are going to know you better than that. They're going to say, well, that can't be. So and so, I know them. And it's just, you're living in a way that's blameless. It's what it's talking about when it says that elders are to be blameless, to be servants of the Lord's church. You can't get a charge to stick with them because of the exemplary manner in which they live their life. And so do be blameless. And in keeping with that, it says a little later on, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. So a lot of times things aren't right and wrong, but there are matters of judgment. But use your judgment in such a way that you'll exhibit a sterling character so that you'll have that Teflon reputation and charges won't stick. So live in a manner that is blameless. Do be well reported of for good works. Now, I thought of Tabitha when I read that. And you read about her in Acts and when she died and all the people were bringing the things that she'd done, for all the good works that she had done. Tabitha was noted for that. And it's mentioned twice here. Well reported of for good works. And then it says this. If she had followed diligently every good work. And then he gets specific. Here's some of them. If she has lodged strangers. If she has washed the saints' feet, if she hath relieved the afflicted. That's probably easier for a married woman to lodge strangers. But not always. You remember Lydia, the seller of purple? when the apostles were through preaching to them by the river and baptized her into Christ. And then she compelled them to come to her house where she provided for those preachers there. She lodged strangers. That's really talking about that word. It doesn't mean just pick up somebody you don't know and bring them in your house. But it's talking about showing hospitality is the significance of that. If she'd washed the saints' feet. That doesn't say foot, singular. It's not talking about a religious practice that you're going to come to worship and everybody's cleaning their feet up so someone washing their feet won't find a dirty foot. It's talking about washing dirty feet. Because what they would do, they would walk around and their feet would be filthy and they come in the house. And Jesus gave that example with His apostles. None of them wanted to wash one another's feet. And so Jesus took the towel and the basin and He washed His apostles and it embarrassed them. But He showed, look, there is no service too lowly when there's a service to be done. And so women excel in those services. Some will think, well, that's kind of lowly. But do that. Wash the, take glory in that. Jesus said, I've done this, or as I've done, so you may do also. And so if she's washed the saints' feet, if she has relieved the afflicted. I know, and I honor, and I'm glad that there are male nurses. But traditionally, when you think of a nurse, don't you usually think of a woman? They've traditionally filled that role. And it's because God has just equipped woman in such a way that she is good at providing care for the afflicted. There's just a lot of natural ability and empathy and sympathy that comes from that. And so you don't have to be a nurse to do that. And when we see someone struggling or hurting along the way, I'll tell you, the kindness of a woman to help people get through these things is just tremendous. So follow after those good works and be one that's known for relieving the afflicted. And there at the end it says, if any man, and then it says, or a woman that believeth, have widows, let them relieve them. Now that's really talking about taking care of your own. But I want you to think about this too. There are sometimes women have needs, especially single women, widows, will have needs that really the most discreet way to help is for another woman to come to their aid. And so, godly women, just look after one another. Be cognizant of one another and know that you've got friends and be a friend to other godly women and be there to help them in those things. So those are the kind of good works to do. Now here's a good do. Do be faithful to your husband. And that comes from the text. Having been the wife of one man. Now that's the flip side of what it said about elders. Having been the husband of one woman. When it's talking about qualifications of elders, the husband of one wife. And now here's the wife, the wife of one husband. That doesn't mean that if your husband dies, you can't marry again or something like that. That's not what that's talking about. But it's talking about the right kind of relationship, one that God would honor, and then you be faithful to that. You be that one man woman, just like a man needs to be a one woman man. And you be that wife. You be faithful to him. You be loyal to him. And you honor him. And a fellow said in our meeting, let him know he's your king. Honor that man. And so be faithful to your husband. Here's a do. Do bring up children. And that's mentioned several times here. If she hath brought up children. And he talks about the younger women. I will therefore that younger women marry, bear children. And then it says over here in 1 Timothy 2:15, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Now that doesn't mean you can't go to heaven if you don't have a child. And that would be a real perversion of the whole context of what Paul's talking about. He's talking about those areas in which women can excel. And one of the ways, one of the areas women excel is with children. Certainly your own children. God honors mothers. And so be a godly woman and you be a good mother to your children. That may not be your own children. It may be adopted children. It may be helping other women with their children. Ah, honor and love the women that teach our children in Sunday school. And just like women are good at relieving the afflicted, and women are good at helping other women in certain things, they're just things that children can thrive on when they have a good godly woman with them, helping bring them up and raise them. And so honor that. We men need to honor that. And then do God the house. Now, acknowledge your husband is the head of the house. That's what he does. And he's responsible for that home, and you help him do that. And that's an interesting word, guide, in that you can guide that husband in how to be a good head of that house. And that's your role. Not to usurp his authority, but to help him be the right kind of man for that home. And you guide that house. Paul talks about it here in Titus 2, 4 and 5. Teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Somebody says, do you think a woman's place is in the home? I sure do. Does that mean she can't work outside the home? That's a different question. There is a woman's place in the home. And the Lord honors that, and we need to honor that. That home, the best part of my day is when I get home. And I walk into an atmosphere that my Lori creates in that home. She keeps that home. Now, it doesn't mean she's housekeeper. It doesn't mean she keeps at home. But that word keep means in guard. She guards that home. There are things that are not going to show up in our home because my wife, my Lori, is going to keep that out of that home. She's going to guard that home. And that is the most precious place in this world to me, is inside those doors with my little family in the home that she makes for me. And that's what that's talking about. Women, realize the value in that, and don't ever feel guilty about that. And loving your husband and taking care of your children and making sure you've got the right kind of home and guiding that house. That's what God honors. We need to honor women. We need to honor them for the things that God honors them for. Let's go over them again. Don't live in pleasure. Don't wax wanton. Don't marry someone who'll take you away from Christ. Don't be idle. Don't be tattlers and busybodies. Don't be turned aside after Satan, but do trust in God. Do continue in supplications and prayers. Do be blameless. Do be well reported of for good works. Do be faithful to your husbands. Do bring up children. Do guide the house. When the Bible says honor widows that are widows indeed, yes, talking about providing for them as they have need. But that word honor means more than that. And we need to honor godly women. And it's up for us men. Let's make sure we do that. Now, women honor it between one another, but let's honor godly women. The world will honor women for worldly things. And let's Christian men honor women for the thing that God honors women for. And love your daughters. Love your wives and love your mothers for those godly things.